Tuesday afternoon. Time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor, right between Rama Grill and Fiddlehead. Eric Meehan in studio with us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Still basking in the glow of last weekend's Tool concert.
I thoroughly am. Waterfront Concerts has I mean, I already was really, really happy about them, but I actually apparently intimidated a bunch of mild-mannered Canadians who had taken my seat. I mean, you know, we just kind of were strolling in, you know, everybody's like, you know, seated. And I guess I kind of looked really pissed off. I definitely have the resting angry face, but there was a bunch of guys and they all of a sudden cleared out and the guy behind me was like, yeah, dude, you came ready to. I'm like, well, I came ready to. I just told them I was going to sit in the seat I paid for. I don't know. Maybe it was because I was about a foot taller than all of them.
It might have something.
I'm not a very intimidating guy, but I guess occasionally to some people who are from north of the border, I must seem just downright ferocious.
There's a presence.
Yeah. It's funny. I guess.
I mean, we know you're a teddy bear.
Right? I guess assume it when you go to a metal show occasionally, maybe you're just like ready to like.
That might be.
Although the most peaceful shows I've ever been to are metal shows, honestly. I guess the big ones for the Rumbles are the country shows. All you country fans, by the way, I'm not interested in Rumble. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Hey, I just want, before we talk about wine, I wanted to throw in my own personal rest in peace to Frank Tiford. As an NPR listener, as a Sports Illustrated reader, that was a guy, and it was interesting, the clip you played about the one thing I really hate is doping. It's like, yeah, because the guy loved sport. He just, like, he was the last guy to truly celebrate the nuance of sport, no matter how esoteric, seemingly ludicrous. And he always made it seem like, you know what? I should get behind handball.
Yeah.
here's a story about, you know, high lie that you haven't thought of. Like, I did not think of that.
Yeah. Well, and that generation of guys with DeFord, with Bob Ryan.
Right.
Lee Monfil and some of those guys. Rick Tellinger is a little bit younger, but I mean, they got it. And they wrote about sports in its purest form.
Well, and possibly the last generation of people that weren't as jaded. I mean, yeah. You have, right now, my favorite thing about ESPN is you've got like its own hosts cannibalizing it. You've got, you know, Lebatard going on and on about how ESPN is so deep in the pockets of all him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they pay you, right? And that's it. And that's exactly his point. I'm like, I guess so, but that's. Can we please just talk about high lie?
Exactly.
I really want a nice, thoughtful column about it.
There you go. Perfect.
So anyway, that was a big one for me this weekend. It was too, and also of course Greg Allman, who is another important. But that
we
was,
were saying of the trifecta, because you know that always happens in threes.
Mm.
Two of the big three celebrity deaths were people we'd had on the show.
Yeah, that's rough.
We did not have Manuel Noriega. How we missed out on that.
Well, the CIA had him on a pretty
tight
leash.
Yeah.
I don't know you would have gotten anything
every
good.
Every time
that
we called, sorry, the number has changed.
That was really funny. I had sort of totally forgotten all about that. And, you know, it was CNN, five things you need to know today. And I was like, that's right. Like, it came out that he was totally paid by us for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Hey, wine. We're here for wine. We're not here to talk about random dictators who may or may not really like heavy. He wouldn't have liked the Tool show. I'll tell you that.
No.
So we're finishing up our talk about appellations this month and, you know, sort of talking about the sense of place and why sense of place matters. And, you know, because next month we launch into our world tour, starting with France and Germany. But today we hit the Iberian Peninsula and we talk about port. When we talked about port last year, we sort of talked about why port has been waning in sales. And I brought in a white port and talked about how there's a lot of efforts there. So I'll remind you all about that. But today, I kind of want, you know, we've been sort of playing about like why sense of place matters and then why it might kind of get flipped on its head and not. And so indeed today we are going to try a port that is not from the city of Oporto in Portugal. But before we get to that, let's talk about what port is before we talk about what it technically isn't. So port is a fortified wine, and I'm sure a lot of you have probably experienced port, perhaps in some of its lesser expressions, hopefully some of you in its better expressions. It's a very, very nice wine. Fortified wine means a wine that has been, something has happened to it to essentially, I guess in the worst way of looking at it, sort of kill its life cycle and sort of freeze it in time so that it remains hearty and good and long lasting for a long time. For obvious reasons, these fortified wines were very, very popular with the colonialization of the New World, places where, you know, you're going into extreme heat or cold, or just, you know, conditions you don't know, and you still want your wines to be good. And as we've talked about on this program many, many times, wine is a very volatile substance. It can go bad, it can get cooked, it can get, you know, it can get, all sorts of things can go wrong with it. And so fortified wines really, really lessen that chance. So port is made by the same way that most wines are made, at least in the initial stages. You have your grapes growing. In this case, they grow in the Douro Valley, which is actually nowhere near the city of Port, which is what it's named for. The Douro Valley is pretty far inland, basically almost to the Spanish-Portuguese border. So it's quite a ways inland. It's very, very dramatic, beautiful terraced valleys, now becoming part of this agritourism thing. But prior to about 10 years ago, no one really went there. But it is really, really dramatically beautiful. And then the wines would be made and shipped down river to be fortified and shipped out all over the world. And so the wine took the name of Port, or from Oporto, as opposed to Douro fortified wines or whatever. It's made by taking these wines, and you start making them. You pick the grapes really right at the edge of ripeness, so they've got a lot of sugar, and they're really kind of bursting at the seams. And you start to make a wine. You make a young wine, and so obviously you've got your sugars fermenting out. And when it reaches about 4% alcohol, you hit it with what's called aguardiente, which is neutral grape brandy, essentially. So the brandies we all like to drink, those have been aged in oak barrels and other types of barrels to take on that very barrely flavor. But when you just distill grape must, which is all the smashed bits, you get grape brandy. And that's what they hit it with. It kills the yeast, but it also boosts the alcohol level to 18-19%, giving you that fortified wine. It's very durable. It's very wonderful. It also retains that level of sweetness of that residual sugar that didn't get fermented out, which is why ports are sweet. It's amazing. Port, so we're talking about appellations, is recognized and protected within the European Union, but it's not protected within the U.S., which is why today we are drinking a Zinfandel port from Amador County in California. So kind of an interesting thing, because we've been talking about how, you know, there's been all these protections for Champagne and Burgundy and all these other places, but port, basically the U.S. government said, no, it's almost a style rather than a protected delimited area. So especially because your grapes are coming from the Douro and you're making it down here. So no, we're not going to give you that protection, which is super interesting to me, because port is the third oldest protected region in the world. 1756 is when actually they started to delimit and protect the name of port. But the U.S. being its typical flippant self said, that's terrific. And just in case anybody's curious, it's Chianti in Tuscany and Tokaj in Hungary that are even older than port. As I was mentioning earlier, port sales have been in decline since about 2005. I think it's kind of viewed as a very stodgy wine. I mean, it's sweet. Like, people like sweet wines, but I think people want sweet wines that they can have a couple of, kind of like session beers. You know, it's when you're talking about a 19% beverage, it's not something you can just like slam a bottle of. And maybe that's the problem. People don't really take time after dinner to ruminate or things like that. So maybe that's when port is best served. For that reason, there are several different types of port, and I'll talk quickly about those, but the white port. So white port is made with white grapes and can take on a slight hue from aging in barrels, but it's still very, very fresh and fruity. And so you're finding that a lot of restaurants and bars are trying to play with it and bring it back into the mainstream. Once you catch that millennial buzz, you know, it's, you're done. You're set for life. And of course, there's ruby ports. Rubies are made also from the fruit that is deemed fruitiest, basically, and most appropriate for a sort of that jammy red style. And those are usually very young ports as well. Then there's a style of port called tawny ports. That's probably the most well-known. They're a little bit more caramelly, orange rindy. Those are made from the grapes that aren't necessarily the fruitiest, but the ones that actually have the most acidity, and that'll balance that barrel aging very nicely. And then you have late bottle vintage and vintage, which are the best fruit, and those are ones that can actually be held onto, and in certain cases, in vintage cases, really need to be held onto for years and years and years before you even drink them, because they're really going to kind of taste like unappealing, tannic, grippy monsters anywhere before 20 years of age. So That's kind of your quick rundown on ports. Now, what are we drinking today? We're drinking Terra d'Oro Zinfandel port. So this is, as indicated, made from Zinfandel in exactly the same way. They let the Zinfandel stay on the vines. They let it get very ripe. They pick it. They hit it with neutral grape brandy. They don't call it aguardiente because we're not in Portugal. It's exactly the same sort of stuff. And it comes from, it's made in the same sort of style. So it's several years worth of different wines blended together for a really, really nice, I mean, I don't know if you guys have sipped this yet, but I mean, it's really deep and kind of figgy and chocolatey. And, you know, if you like Zinfandels, there's no reason you wouldn't really like this, I think.
It's got some character to it. I like this.
Yeah. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
Now, and I know you've mentioned this in the past. Is this something that you could make a cocktail out of?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I think that might be kind of the future of port a little bit more is doing something with it because it is, it's very intense. I mean, it really is. Now, if you have it, you know, with maybe the appropriate dessert, all of a sudden it becomes much more palatable. But yeah, it's pretty intense. Really quick before we go, June 15th is our Friars. He's back in brewing, folks. Brother Donald is back in brewing. His new brews will be available. And then also we'll be tasting some French and German wines. And also the Japanese dinner at Novio's. Do sign up for that. That's looking pretty killer as well. So join us on Hammond Street. Mm-hmm. Fear not the construction.
Nah.
The city's doing very well. So cheers to all.
86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle with Eric Meehan every Tuesday afternoon. That's good stuff.